So that old letter from Paul is very much a letter to us today, don't you think? Well, I want to start off by saying I'm old. And I say that not just to justify my retirement at the end of this year. I am so old that I know that the proper response to saying I am old in old late night television would be, just how old are you? Right? And I am so old that I remember singing along with Mitch. Now, let me explain for some of our young and not so old friends. Way back in the day, there were these things called vinyl discs. Now, they're collectors now, and you can still buy them. So there are these discs inside that go on something called a stereo, and the disc rotates at 33 and a third revolutions per minute, and sound comes out of the speaker because of the way the record is grooved. And me, being a preacher's kid, have a special relationship with Mitch Miller because some people called Mitch Miller an antidote to the blaring rock and roll of the day. But in truth, I am more of a child of that rock and roll era, and I'm sure that maybe Mitch Miller was an antidote to my parents for the blaring music that came out of my little transistor radio as I listened to Cousin Brucey in New York City be the DJ every day. So I was also a preacher's kid, though. And so I have the dual memories, in addition to rock and roll, of being at the organist's house, gathered around her organ. That was the first time I saw anybody with an organ in their house, and singing along with Mitch. Because inside these record covers of Mitch Miller's came sheets of lyrics. And you would pull them out and pass them around. So therefore, I know that there are some really old songs that I know all the lyrics to. And I wonder sometimes how I've learned all these lyrics, and it's all thanks to Mitch Miller. So that as I hear a song like school days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and sung to the tune of a hickory, see, I have friends. The good old golden school days of corporal punishment. I won't ask if any of you have those memories. But why old school days and old memories as I hear this letter? Well, my first glance through Romans 12, I felt instructed. I felt schooled after a long list of proper behaviors, kind of like the old school days. But thanks to Eleazar Fernandez's theological writing on the passage, and I give Fernandez all the credit, I felt instructed and enlightened. So with many thanks to the exposition I read, I was inspired to bring you this message that offers us an alternative to rage that you may experience every time another news story breaks. Some unconscionable action by another exalted person in authority, whether in government or a leader in business or just another celebrity in the news, I imagine that you have at times experienced rage in response to the headlines. And I know someone that often responds to horrendous and disappointing news of the day with what she calls rage giving. Rage giving is contributing to organizations who are fighting oppression in the particular field triggered by the outrageous news you've read. Rage giving seems a reasonable response in today's world. But rather than only a rage response, Fernandez offered me a viewpoint that sounded familiar to one schooled in the slogans of the Church of the Brethren. We rage and respond with another way of living. Because Paul isn't just giving us a schoolyard list of things to do. He's describing a whole nother way of living. Jesus initiated an alternative community. He proclaimed another way to live, not the world's way, but the Jesus way. And this passage seems to be one of those rare places where Paul is actually referring back, possibly even using the words of Jesus' own teaching. So we don't stop at rage, even rage giving. We go on to live and live another way. And that may be why Anabaptism is experiencing a big surge in revival around the world. Maybe not in the United States. Church of the Brethren is often clueless that there is a revival going on in the world. But Anabaptism and the alternative way of living is becoming more and more popular. And I believe it's partly why the Dunker Punks podcast is increasing, growing in listenings, because it's all about another way of living. Yet the temptation we face is real. Conformity to the ways of the domination system is a very real temptation. Fernandez said that, well, it's easy in some ways for us to imagine acquiescing to some regime somewhere that uses brutality and forces its people into order and line. But it's no less real a temptation that exists when the world appears benign or even presents itself as a patron of Christian values. And I'm afraid that we live in just such a highly toxic atmosphere. Many churches have become so comfortable with the world that they have lost their identity as an alternative community. They've been seduced by the three B's of success: building, budget, and bodies. Sound familiar? You know of churches, even denominations, that have sided with or sung along with the dominant culture without realizing they've completely joined the choir of the culture of domination and privilege and accumulation and consumption. Does that take you back to the schoolyard and make you feel schooled again? I'm reminded of one of our earliest Dunker Punk podcasts written by Pastor Dana Casal using the Game of Thrones as her central image of a dominant culture that distracts residents with games so they won't realize how oppressed they are or organize against the oppression. It's called Awaken to Empire, and if you want to listen, you can find it on our website. You just pull down that tab saying service and outreach to get to this page. Fernandez awakened me to the domination empire once again because he asked if we know churches where worship emphasis is confused with marketing technique, where stewardship is confused with fundraising, where spirituality is confused with techniques like meditation techniques, with vitality is confused with growth, and ministry gets confused with programs and services. Have we at Arlington Church of the Brethren fallen prey to any of these distractions? Actually, I think distractions are just what we have been working to free ourselves from. We know the truth, and we've been doing our best to break those old habits and old mindsets to embrace the even older way of Jesus' alternative way of living. That's what we do. Say it. Beyond the walls. Jesus offered an invitation to everyone for new community that exists in an old and everlasting principle: God's love for everyone. So our community, as disciples of his community, nurtures believers to live differently, whether they're here, where we nurture them, or we send our message beyond the walls. We do it with power. And if it takes a little bit of rage to get you going, that's okay. But don't stop at rage. Our real power comes from the divine source of all that is. You know, that companion that Jesus promised. Who is it? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. That's right. And when we are reschooled in the Jesus old but new ways, we know the specifics of our living are actually found in those 13 verses you heard read today. They're practices that promote life-giving relationships. They're the real antidote to our rage. The 13 verses embody another way of living. A way of living that prioritizes genuine love, mutual regard, humility, peace, even harmony. And as we care for each other, and we care for the wider society beyond the walls. The Bible labels this hospitality. And it's why we now have a ministry team labeled hospitality, the hospitality ministry team, because hospitality is a word that encompasses all of that other way of living, all that we do. We practice hospitality. That's the way we love. It takes that word love that we don't know exactly what to do with, and it puts it into some hands-on practice. And we, brethren, do love that hands-on practice. It's hospitality. Hospitality is the way we show what love means. And it sums up most of those practices that Paul detailed. So now that we've left our old habits behind, and we know that hospitality is more than merely welcoming those who walk through the doors, hospitality means serving beyond our walls. Fernandez says, hospitality as charity offers crumbs from our tables. Hospitality as justice offers a place at the table. Hospitality as justice involves transformation of the whole system that is inhospitable to so many. Transformation of the system that is often the source of our rage. One of those looks like our posters from the play last week. So when you read the news this week, and when that outrageous action sparks the rage within you, what will you do? Can our rage response bring us back to Paul's instruction that we heard today? Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic, sisters and brothers. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble. Devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. And what might be hardest of all in our rage response, bless the people who harass you. Bless and don't curse them. And most of all, don't be defeated by evil. But defeat evil with good. That's a rage response that brings justice to everyone.